Today on Real Radio.
We don't have statues. We don't pull them around. We don't have donkey carts with some goddess made out of stone. No. But we have them in our pockets. We have them on our iPads or our iPhones or whatever you have. It could be that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, we've already had a look at the first commandment, which says that we're to have no other gods before the true God of Israel, who is indeed the creator of all. Now, the next commandment is pretty much an elaboration of the first, specifically dealing with idols, which, by the way, are part of Western culture more than you might think. Now, let me encourage you every day to spend some time with us here on Real Radio, because this series on the Ten Commandments will change your life. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Idols and You.
Matthew 5, 17, Exodus 20, verse 4, and we're looking tonight at the second commandment, commandment number 2. And we're talking about idols tonight, idols in you, idols in God, the second commandment. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 17, he said, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law," church, listen, "from the law till all is fulfilled." Bible students tonight, before we read Exodus 20, verse 4, know this: Jesus Christ himself makes the announcement that the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, that's what the Jews had in those days, was in fact the Word of God, and that not one word of the Old Testament would cease to exist until everything's fulfilled. If you ever want to think what Jesus thought about the Old Testament, understand this: it is God's Word. It is holy, and technically, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That is Genesis to Revelation Jesus. That's who he is, the Word of God. And so that's a very exciting thing to remember. Before I read Exodus 20, verse 4, you can flip there now if you would. In light of what Jesus just said to us, Adolf Hitler said the Ten Commandments have lost their validity. Conscience is a Jewish invention. It is a blemish like circumcision. What do we know from that? Well, number one, that Hitler wasn't circumcised, for one thing. Number two, that Adolf Hitler thought that he was, in fact, God himself. Adolf Hitler was probably possessed by a demon. Adolf Hitler was one who saw himself above answering to anyone on the planet, and even saw himself above the God of the Jews. Amazing thing to think about. When he said that the conscience is the invention of the Jewish people. No, the Bible tells us that God, the Holy Spirit, who uses the Ten Commandments, by the way, in our lives, speaks to us about our sins and about our need for Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that says, you shouldn't have done that. And much of our culture in the world today is trying to do everything it can to outlaw the ministry of the Holy Spirit, if you think about it. Exodus 20, verse 4, which is now our study for tonight. The scripture says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. The second commandment. Church, it's been a little while since we got into the first commandment, so I want to repeat a few things. When we look at the Ten Commandments, don't you think for a moment, now Moses is on the mountaintop, and that's a big mountain, Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, same mountain, it's huge. It's in Saudi Arabia today. It's a gigantic mountain. When Moses got the Ten Commandments, there were two of them. He had to come down the mountain with them. Did you ever ask yourself, God, why didn't you just use a smaller font and give one stone tablet for that old man to carry down there? Why two? Well, no doubt God gave him supernatural power to carry those things down. But the big thing is this: the number two in the Bible always speaks about relationship. It speaks about pairs or unity. It speaks about community, getting along, two separate things coming together. The Ten Commandments are very strategically written. And we saw last time that the first commandment was viewed, as the Jews look at it, in light of the sixth commandment. The first commandment said, "For I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me." That's the vertical relationship between the believer and God. You shall have no other God before me. But it also correlates to the sixth commandment. And if you're here, you remember that. Why is that important? Because in Exodus 20, 13, it talks about that sixth commandment being a horizontal commandment. And by the way, do you remember what the word commandment means? It means principle or precept. Very important you understand that. God's guiding rules for life. And the sixth commandment, correlation to the first commandment, was you shall not murder. And how do you bring those together? How do the ancient Jews bring those together? Because if you do not have God in your life, then you will murder people. If you don't have the concept of God presiding over you, then you will take the life of other people. Again, Hitler, he didn't see that he was ever to answer to God. So what did he do? In the conscience of Hitler, God was dead. So he turned around and killed just alone 6 million Jews, not to mention Christians and many other, many, many millions of people. So tonight, as we look to the second commandment, the number two commandment correlates to the seventh commandment. If you're a note taker, jot that down. When I read to you a moment ago, that is the vertical instruction by God. He says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. That is an idol. You can write down in the margin of your notes, an idol. Of any likeness of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or that is which is under the water. He says, you're not to carve out any image. And what is the correlating commandment? The seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Isn't that interesting? You say, wait, I don't get it. Oh, no, it's excellent. You shall not have any idols in your life, church, listen carefully. And the Jews correlate the seventh commandment that says, you shall not commit adultery. Now, when you look at the Ten Commandments, you've got to look vertical and you've got to look horizontal. One is in relation to God, the other one is in relation to man. So the truth is this, if I have idols in my life, that means I allow other concepts, other doctrines of other gods into my life. We'll find out who those gods are tonight. And those gods will always condone what I want to do. And so it is interesting to note that adultery, yes, it is a physical act, but God views adultery preeminently. You know this from our study in Corinthians. God judges adultery predominantly as a spiritual event. That's why Jesus said, if you look at a man or a woman with lust in your heart, you are already guilty of adultery. Why? Because it is in the spirit where the sin begins. So then we are learning that the second set of tablets and the strength of that depends on the first tablet's truth. And that's very important. How it relates to God and in us upwardly, vertically, is how we live it out horizontally. It's very, very excellent to remember that. And so as we look to this, I want to read it very carefully and then we'll drive home some very key points. You shall not make for yourself. This is a grave warning. This is God telling us that you and I have the ability to make gods. Now, granted, they're fake, but we don't act like they're fake. He says, don't do this. You shall not make. You and I, you shall not carve out. You shall not make these things for your neighbor, for the community, for yourself. This is the plague that is upon the human heart when we wake up to the reality that we are a body, soul, and spirit creature. We are very spiritual people, and we have a tendency to craft or shape or to fashion, to carve out images. We think of the image in the wilderness where Moses was on that mountain, and the people of Israel put in the gold into the fire, and Aaron says a calf jumped out. Well, a calf didn't jump out. The Bible says they crafted it. They molded it, made out of gold. It's the same thing, to take your hands and to build something. Listen, it is to build something, to shape something, and then to say, look what I've made. This is for myself. this is my creation. This is my act of creative powers. And that's very interesting, because there's a tendency for humans that when we are not conscious of God, we will assume the place of God or a God. We have judges in America. What are they doing? Without God in their mind, they have become gods, haven't they? It's pretty strange, pretty amazing how these things that we create, these things that we have, begin to possess our very soul. So number one is this. You want to write this down. Locating, or you and I need to locate our idols. We can lay awake at night, we can worry, we can move it around, we can try to camouflage it and hide it, we can even bury it in the ground. And the reason why there is no alleviation from that is because what happens is our idols in our lives preoccupy us. They begin to percolate on our minds. They begin to seize control of our energies and our thinking and our process. And that's a great picture. And you might say tonight, well, I don't have any idols in my life, but I want to say that you do. I want to say that you do, because I know that I do, and when we dig down deep, there are things that the most dangerous idols is for perhaps someone to sit here tonight and say, I don't have that problem. And that's scary, because what you want to do is be able to identify your idols. And when we talk about idols, we talk about things that rival what we should be hosting for God, with God, of God in our lives. Could be time, we shall see this. It could be possessions, it could be dreams, aspirations. Listen, it could be feelings, could be thoughts, could be memories that we create into idols. And it's a dangerous thing. John Calvin once said that our hearts are an idol-making factory. What a tremendous statement that is. But as Christians, you and I, who name the name of Christ, we are to be dedicated to the will of God. And he is to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's to be the one that governs over our lives. He's the one that is to be consulted at every moment of our lives for every decision. Think about that for a moment. If you and I would just slow down, seek God, follow him, can you imagine how few, maybe if possible, no mistakes we would make if we waited upon the Lord? Will you agree with me tonight that when we have not waited and we've run ahead, that we've made mistakes? Huh? Hey, look, come on. Can you agree with me tonight on that? There you are. We run ahead, we get in trouble. Why? Because we do not do that thing of such a simple thing, but it's a great discipline, and that is to wait on God before we do that business deal, or before we do that wedding, or before we do that situation, or go out and do this or that, whatever it might be. And so we want to locate the idol or idols in our lives. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark 10, 17 says, now as he was going on the road, one came running. That shows enthusiasm. He knelt down before him. That's Jesus. This man has enthusiasm and he has devotion. And he asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? This is an awesome statement, question of faith. Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. What's Jesus doing? He's trying to draw out of the man true faith. In a moment, you're going to hear about this man's gods. He says there at the end of verse 18, that is God. Verse 19, and you know the commandments, he says to the young man. Do not commit adultery. Notice, that is a horizontal. Jesus is speaking to him horizontally. So that man could say right back, I haven't committed adultery. Do not murder. That man could say, I didn't murder Jesus. Do not steal. I've never stolen a thing. Do not bear false witness. Haven't done it. Do not defraud. Haven't done that. Honor your father and mother. Got it. These are all horizontal commandments. I'm good, this man says, with everybody around me. Now, he says he is. He thinks he is. By the way, we've met people like this. They're very, very humbly self-righteous. I'm not kidding. I was watching a certain Christian television program. Lisa and I were watching it, and the guy got done with his program, and he said, I'd like you to call in or go online to the station and buy a message that I just produced. I just did this message on humility, and it's the best message I've ever heard. He said that. We couldn't believe it. Lisa and I looked at each other and said, wait a minute, what did he say? We rewound it. He said it. I'm so humble, I just gave the best message I've ever heard. That's an idol, my friend. This guy would have that self-evaluation. Oh man, I'm doing good. I'm so good. I'm a good Christian. I've got everything happening. I'm young. The Bible tells us when we put all four gospels together that this is none other than the rich young ruler. This guy's got it all. And he says, I'm fine. Now remember, Jesus said, there's only one good but God. This guy is saying that he is not perfect, but really, really close. He knows people like that? And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. You can see the little gleam, the little sparkless tooth. Ding! Then Jesus, looking at him, notice this, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Now, you and I know right now that that's not how a person gets saved, is it? You don't sell stuff to inherit heaven. What is Jesus doing? He's trying to peel back the man like an onion to get down to the deep-seated core. And that was this, that man's pride of being really good in action, in reality, was not so good. He did not do all these bad things to people. And he did the right things to people that he was supposed to do right things to. He honored his mom and dad. Everything according to his rule book and self-assessment was excellent. Jesus now reveals the spirit of the law. And this is where every one of us come up short. When Jesus said to him, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, pick up your cross and come and follow me. That's not how you go to heaven. How you go to heaven is having the idols removed from your life by the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who moves in and pushes all that stuff out of the way. Yes, he's the Savior of mankind. Yes, but is he your Savior? Yes, he's the Lord Jesus Christ, but is he your Lord? Is there some area in your life that you are not allowing Jesus to be the Lord over that thing? Are you holding out on something? You're just like this rich young ruler. I'm just going to do that. I'm doing this. I'm doing pretty doggone good. I'm doing this, and I'm serving here, and I'm giving that, and I'm doing all this stuff, but I got this thing right over here. I got this thing, and I'll get to it sometime. I'll work on it sometime, but this is my thing. It's just, you know, we're not all, you know, I'm a human. When you hear that, people will say, oh, excuse my French, but poor French, huh? They cuss at every turn? No, we're not going to excuse your French. You blow up, oh, I'm sorry, I'm Irish. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything? What is that? It has nothing to do with it. It's that area that you say, the lordship of Jesus Christ hasn't come here yet. Why? I haven't let it in. I'm holding out. You may be here tonight and you're very faithful to church, but the Spirit is speaking you right now and in your heart. He's saying, listen, there's an area of your life. You don't let me in. Jesus touched this man's heart. Look what happens. Verse 22 says, but he was sad at this word. How come? He went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. Are possessions a sin, church? The truth is, the possessions had him. Then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Riches don't keep you out. Your heart, my heart, has a tendency to gravitate to whatever you think is really cool. Isn't it interesting that someone's riches may be your trash? And your trash may be someone's riches. This is no more sin than at a garage sale. I mean, you're getting rid of junk, and people pull up and say, I can't believe, are you willing to part with this? And you're like, hello, yeah, I guess I'll have to part with it. Well, the truth of the matter is, how you look at stuff, you may look at something and say, well, that's worthless to me. You have no need for that, so it's not your thing. It's not even a temptation. But I might look at something and say, wow, that's wonderful. Oh, that's fantastic. In that moment, It's one thing to compliment someone on something that they have and God gets the glory and you thank God for it. The moment you say, hey, that's really, really something. And then the next silent thought in my mind is, I wish I had it. Okay? Immediately, I'm sinning. I don't look like I'm sinning. I don't appear to you to be sinning. But I'm sinning. Because I'm looking at something and I see it as something I need to have, I want to have, or I'm going to take that thing. And that covetousness that we'll study in following weeks, that envy, is all based upon idol worship. And it's among us. We have to fight it every day. Matthew 6:19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, look at that, there your heart will be also. So locating your idol, understand this, church, this is surgery time. The idols in your life and my life will be found in our hearts. They will be found in our heart. And who knows the heart but God? But God tells us secrets about our own hearts. And one great thing is that he wants us to deal with this issue of idols. And so Jesus touched the man right in the heart. And the man was convicted. And imagine this. He's looking at Jesus. Now remember all that he went through. He came running. He kneels down. Good teacher, what must I do to be saved? By the way, the term, you didn't go around saying good day, good teacher, because it was a title reserved for God alone. That's another reason why Jesus said, why do you call me good? It's too bad that the guy didn't say, because you're God. But he couldn't say that. He didn't have any room to say it. Listen, today, tonight, are you able to say that Jesus is not only God, but he's the Lord of your life? Can you say that and mean it? Remember how 1 John, the Bible tells us that you and I cannot say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people can say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. But that's not what the verse means. The verse means you can't say it and mean it unless it's by the Spirit of God dwelling in your life. To say it and not mean it is to bear the ultimate false witness. And so this man couldn't say that. There was no room. And Jesus located his idol. And you and I, church, listen. My heart's a little saddened about what I'm just going to say just now. And I'll never know it on this side of eternity, but I would love to know that tonight with this challenge, that every one of you would go home tonight without TV, without music or whatever, and you'd get alone. And you'd say, God, show me the idols in my heart. If you were to do that, your Christian walk would explode. It would take off. But the sad thing is, very few people will get alone with God and let him turn on his light. And someday, though, we're going to stand there with him and he's going to turn on the light. We're going to stand there in absolute light. The Bible says that the light that emanates from God, the heavens and the earth will flee away from him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that examines the second of the Ten Commandments, which deals with idols. It's a look at how idolatry is part of our Western culture and our daily life more than we even realize. It's called Idols and You. It's an examination of commandment number 2. And it's part of Pastor Jack's topical series, which takes a look at the Ten Commandments. And if you get a chance, set aside some time to be with us every day to get through this entire Ten Commandments series, because it will make a big difference in your life. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, when you get a chance, visit realradioactive.org and click on the banner Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can read online. You can also read archived Words to the Wise if you'd like. And you can also sign up to receive them by email. So again, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner Words to the Wise. The rest is real easy. realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.